On the first day of the new Congress, it's very much up in the air who the next House Speaker will be. This afternoon, 19 Republicans voted against their own party leader, Kevin McCarthy, in the first round of voting. McCarthy already appears to have lost in a second round. A third round is expected. Multiple rounds of voting hasn't happened in 100 years. Joining us is NPR political correspondent Susan Davis. Hi, Sue.
Hey, Deepa. Good to be here.
Lots going on there. Were you surprised by how many Republicans voted against McCarthy in the first round?
Well, you know, Kevin McCarthy was not surprised by how much opposition going into the first round. He did concede earlier today to members that he expected his opposition to be around 20, so he was close. At least his whip count was accurate going into today's vote. I think the problem for Kevin McCarthy is now, and we're still underway in the second ballot, but 19 of his colleagues voted against him on the first ballot. And again, and the second ballot is underway, 19 have once again voted against Kevin McCarthy. And what he really needed to see here was movement in his favor. There was no movement even after Ohio Republican Jim Jordan, who was a Republican that some of his colleagues nominated as a protest speaker against McCarthy, stood up and gave a rather rousing speech ahead of the second ballot saying, "I support Kevin McCarthy. You should too. He's the right man for the job." Jordan is quite popular, especially with the disaffected conservatives who are opposing McCarthy, and it really didn't seem to have much of an effect. So Kevin McCarthy is not in a good position right now, but there's a lot of day left ahead.
Okay, but so why will, these future rounds of voting change any? You know, does there come a point where McCarthy just has to read the tea leaves?
It might come to that. The challenging part here is that nothing else can happen in the House, in the Congress, until a speaker is elected. They can go to a third ballot, a fourth ballot. There's really no modern precedent for this happening, so I can't really predict how it might play out. As you noted, it happened 100 years ago, but politically speaking, the times are very different. There's even been times where the speaker took weeks or months to be elected, but that goes back to the Civil War when it was a reflection of how divided the country was. So at some point, if McCarthy cannot become the consensus speaker, House Republicans are going to have a conversation amongst themselves of who that might be. But as of right now, no one else is running for speaker. And I should note, you know, the vast majority of House Republicans support McCarthy, and many of them say they will vote for no one else besides Kevin McCarthy.
I mean, it sounds like a bit of a standoff. Does there come a point where they take a pause and they have to do some kind of backroom negotiation before another round of voting?
They can, you know, at the end of a round of balloting, they either proceed right into the next round as they did from the first to the second, but they can at any point make a motion to adjourn and go into a closed door meeting and see if they can fight it out within the family. You know, there are some talk of could any number of Democratic lawmakers lend their votes to help them out? I don't think that's likely. The vote for speaker is a test of party loyalty. Democrats nominate their own leader, Hakeem Jeffries, who's a Democrat from New York. Democrats have been completely unified behind Jeffries, and there's really not much interest on their side of the aisle of bailing out Republicans from their own internal turmoil. Or someone else might need to step up. Jim Jordan, who is quite popular among many of the conservatives in the conference, has been pretty clear that he does not want to be speaker. He will not run for speaker. He has his sights on chairing the Judiciary Committee and having a powerful role in oversight and investigations in the next Congress. But we've seen this happen before. You know, in 2015, Kevin McCarthy ran for speaker and had to step down because he did not have enough support among the conservative wing of the party. And there was a push to get Paul Ryan, a Republican from Wisconsin, to step up and run. He didn't want to do it. He essentially had to be begged and cajoled into the job. And we might see that play out here if McCarthy cannot rally the opposition in his favor. He doesn't seem to have a plan. If he does, he's not really making it known. But he was clear this morning that he was prepared to have a battle on the floor, and his allies seem to think that their best sort of strategy is just to wear down the opposition and keep forcing rounds of voting.
So just quickly, let's just talk about that opposition. One of his main critics is Scott Perry from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
He emerged from a really contentious meeting this morning saying, McCarthy allies were trying to beat Republicans into submission. Let's just take a quick listen.
When you're threatened with being kicked off your committees if you don't vote as you're ordered to. We literally had people in there telling us to take orders. And I can only speak for myself, but I suspect my colleagues here have the same sentiment. I don't take orders from anyone in this town. My orders come from my district and my constituents.
We only have about 30 seconds, Sue, but these far-right lawmakers, they've extracted some concessions from McCarthy. Just briefly, what are some of those?
They have. I mean, most notably, they've got him to agree to lower the threshold for House rules that would make it easier to throw out the speaker in the middle of a Congress if they don't like what he's doing. But I think a lot of their colleagues are angry at these anti-McCarthy conservatives because they say, look, he's given you concession, 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 and you keep moving the goalposts. And there's a theory that, you know, there might not be any policy solution to these folks. They might just want a new speaker entirely.
Mm. Susan Davis, NPR political correspondent, amid the thick of it there. Thanks, Sue.
You're welcome.